Oh, Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for all that you've been telling us in the service already this morning. Thank you for what you've been saying to us through the worship and saying to us through brothers and sisters, through visions, prophecy. Just thank you, Father, that you've been speaking to us through testimony. Thank you for all that we're hearing about, all the great things that you're doing in our lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters. We thank you for that. But thank you now we're coming to look at your word. We've come to sow seeds into our hearts. So thank you for these seeds. Thank you for the truths held within your scripture. And thank you that now we're going to sow them into our hearts. I speak our understanding in the name of Jesus. Understanding so these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so these seeds grow. And understanding so that we produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Sorry, just change this a little bit. Okay. So we are coming to the end of this series. I've got an idea for the next one. Well, somebody's given me an idea for the next series. I'm just looking into that with the Lord, see if that's where he wants us to go next. So I was thinking I'm going to not finish this week. I maybe finish next week, and I'm pretty sure I am because I've written the sermon for next week already. The wonder of technology. We're not going to be here next week, so we're not having a live service. But we will be going out kind of live at 11 o'clock next Sunday. So I worked out with stream technology, Pauline. I'm great at technology. I get it. I'm so good at technology. I'm one of the best that there is at technology. And I've worked out how to do a recording and then put it out live. So watch this space next week. So there won't be a service here next week. Me and Nancy are going to be on holiday, but it'll be live on Facebook, YouTube, and then we'll be back again on the 10th. Amen. So I'm going to wrap up this series next week, looking at words to describe his love, helping define that phrase, God is love. And the last few weeks, we've been looking at how Jesus demonstrated that love. So we've seen Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. We've opened up the Gospels and looked at different accounts, but you could actually just open up the Gospels and look and see Jesus demonstrating the love of the Father. Next week, I'm so excited about next week, knowing what it's going to be already. So excited about next week, we're going to look at the ultimate expression of God's love through what Jesus did. I'll let you, I'm sure you all say that. What is it? The cross. There you go. So we'll do that next week. Because we've been looking at Jesus demonstrating the love of the Father. We've looked at these verses every week that Jesus is the express image of the Father. We've seen that Jesus can only do what he sees the Father do. So we've looked at different accounts of Jesus interacting with people. And today is going to be interesting because I'm going to look at an account Jesus has with one of his nearest and dearest. And it's a wonderful expression of his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. The fact that his love is unconditional, that his love is not dependent about what we do. His love is not dependent upon our performance. His trust is not dependent upon our performance. The commission he's given us is not dependent upon our performance. And I think this has been one of the most important themes in this series, that it's not about us. It's not about our performance. He loves us because he is. Loves us because he is love. That is who he is. It's not a character or an aspect of his nature. I'll never say that again, Carol. Love is his being. God is love. Love is God. He is. Love is. But I want to start with a wee question. A few questions before we kick off, just to see if this message is for you. Okay? Anybody in here perfect? Oh. Let me rephrase that. Yes, I've taught you so well, Michelle. Yes, in your spirit, you're perfect. But let's imagine, well, does anyone feel in here that God has ever given them a vision or a mission or a task or something to do? Well, a couple of yeses. I think everybody, if you're honest, has at some point in their life been given something from God to do, been appointed to a task, given a ministry, given a mission, told to go and do something. Has anyone ever not done that perfectly? Yeah. Does anyone think that with the mission they've got from God, their ministry, their tasks, their appointment, has anyone ever failed at something or part of that? Sean told us this morning he just did that. Everyone was building up this morning to this message, Sean. Sean was honest there to say, you know, I thought this was from somebody for the Lord. Maybe it's not for them, it's for somebody else, or it's not for them. You know, sometimes we do little things wrong. Sometimes we do huge things wrong. Unless you're perfect in all that you've ever done, this message is for you this morning. Okay? So that's good. So turn with me to John 21. Turn with me to John 21. It's right near the end of John. And verse 15, I'm going to read from. Well, verse 14, because this is the third time that Jesus has showed up, showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. And verse 15 says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon," this is Peter, remember, "son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Hallelujah. Let me just start my iPad again. Here we go. Third time Jesus showed up to the disciples. That's what verse 14 says. And we have this famous encounter of Jesus with Peter. When if you just read that superficially, he asks Peter the same question three times. But I want to backtrack slightly and see what comes before this in the life of Peter. And then see how Jesus relates to Peter. How Jesus, what he says, what he doesn't say, what he leaves with Peter. So let's backtrack slightly. And we'll see actually as well that he doesn't ask Peter the same question three times. Slightly different. But let's backtrack slightly. See what comes before this in the life of Peter. Relating this, relating Peter to us. You know, here's us saying, we've never done everything for the Lord perfectly. Okay, we've all made mistakes. Peter was one of the main disciples. He obviously never made a mistake. Well, let's just have a look. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And verse 21. This is an account where Jesus is trying to tell his disciples what is going to happen to him. 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So Jesus is telling the guys this, starting to tell them. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." What did Jesus say to Peter? "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter made a bit of a mess of that, didn't he? Bit of a mistake there. Bit of a fail. Then look at Matthew 26. And verse 37. count in the garden at Gethsemane. And he took with him, that's Jesus, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup from me, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cameth unto his disciples, and finding them asleep. And interestingly, he didn't speak to the two sons of Zebedee. He said to Peter, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's Peter making a bit of a mess of it again. Bit of a fail. And then we go to John. God, could it get any worse for Peter? Could Peter do anything worse? Well, let's go to John 18. You all know what's coming. Verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Down to 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, thinking about himself, not about Jesus, looking after his own comforts, warming himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the priests of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Why am I showing you that? I am showing you Peter failing Jesus time and time again. He just did not perform, this guy. Time after time. Where was he when Jesus was on the cross? We don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. He wasn't there. Nowhere to be seen. So in that context, with that knowledge of Peter, you're pretty hard on him, Vic. You're just pulling a few things out of context. No, I pulled a few facts out about Peter, where he failed. There was other times where he'd done pretty good. But there were times when he failed. So we've got that knowledge about Peter. Let's go back to this, Do You Love Me? Encounter. Jesus asked Peter these questions. In the context of Jesus knowing full well his denial, his doing a runner, his desertion of Jesus. I've read somewhere in a commentary that he asked this question 3 times to counter the 3 denials, but I'm not sure about that, because when we look at it, it's different questions. He actually does not ask the same question 3 times. It seems that way in English. Do you love me? You know, you look at that, it looks like Jesus is not listening. Do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? It's like, what's Jesus up to here? Is he just not listening to Peter? No. It's so often with Scripture, we need to know the Greek and the Hebrew. In this case, it's the Greek. You need to get a Strong's, people, or get a phone that's got Strong's on it. It's different. We all know there's different Greek words for love. In this case, we have agape, the highest form of love, the purest form of love, like the love God demonstrates. And then we have philia, a brotherly love, loving like a friend. So there's levels, higher and lower levels of love, as it were. Agape is a higher level of love than filial. First 2 questions Jesus says to Peter, Do you love women? Do you love me with the highest, purest love? Peter says, you know I love you like a friend. If you get the highest level of love for me, I love you like a friend. If you get the highest level of love for me, I love you like a friend. And I admire Peter here, actually. His honesty is admirable. Here's Peter. And in front of him is the risen Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, asking you a question. Are you just going to agree with him? No. Peter says, you know what, Jesus, I'm just not there yet. You know, I know in my heart I love you, but it's like a mate. Yeah, a really good friend. But I don't agape you. And I love that about Peter, that raw honesty. Yeah, I do love you, Jesus, but not that much. So what do you see Jesus do after these questions? Well, as I've said a few times in this series, what he doesn't say is important. Very important. We'll look what he does say, but for examples, what does he not say? Okay, Peter, I get that. So I'm just going to remove this appointment that I've put on you, and you'll get it back once you love me more. Once you love me more, once you love me agape, then you can feed my sheep. Because then you're going to be fit and able to feed my sheep. Once I see this agape love for me being demonstrated, once I see you performing, then you can feed my sheep. He does not say, okay, but can I just ask you, do you repent of your denials? Can I just check you're over that? Can I just check you're sorry? Can I just check you feel really, really bad about that, Peter? Repent of failing me and running away, letting me down. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I really hope you're not going to deny me again, sarcastically. You know, it was a real disappointment for me when you did that. You're not going to do that again. No. What does he do? He comes to where Peter is at now. As I was thinking about this, and sort of as an allegory or as a picture, he comes to meet Peter at his well in Samaria. Jesus went to him. Like you went to the woman at the well. Jesus needs to go through Samaria. It was like he went to meet Peter at his well in Samaria. Went to the level where he was needed, that's Jesus, or would be accepted. And he says, okay, Peter, do you love me like a friend? And I didn't quite get the next bit. Peter's disappointed. Peter's upset in a way. And I'm not sure, is he upset that Jesus lowers himself to his level, or is he upset that he can't raise himself up to that agape? I'm not sure yet. But although Peter's upset in a way, he says, yes, I love you like a friend. And what does Jesus say? He says, feed my sheep, follow me. And I just love that. What is Jesus saying to Peter here? There's such a subtext here that he doesn't say, that he's shouting out loud and clear. He's saying, I love you, I accept you where you are now. Where you are at. I love you and accept you for what I can see in the future, for the potential that is there. I am more interested in your future than in your past. Kind of like the subtext that he said to the woman at the well last week. Jesus is not so much interested in what Peter has done as to what he thinks about himself, as to what he thinks about Jesus, about the faith he has in Jesus as the Messiah, I see here Jesus is putting the focus back on himself again. Just like he did with the woman at the well. What do you think of me, Peter? What do you believe of me? Who do you say I am, Peter? Think about your attitude to me as Lord and Savior, not as your attitude to yourself or your works or your lack of works or your failures. Look to me, don't look to your failures. Who's Jesus standing in front of? He's standing in front of a man who deserted him, denied him, failed him in his hour of need. And Jesus sticks with that man. Lovingly loyal. That was one of the first things we did, remember? Chesed. Jesus is lovingly loyal. And his love is unconditional. Peter, failure after failure, yet Jesus still loves him. Still loyal, comes to his level. And here's what I got for this week. He is still trusting and he is still empowering. Because Jesus tasked Peter with a role a while ago. He's not just doing it here. Before he denied him, here's your appointment. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to appoint you. This is what you're going to do. Denial, legs it. No change in behavior, no change in performance. And Jesus is saying, that still holds. Even with all your mistakes, even with all your denials, even with all your failures, that still holds. Have you been told something to do and you've failed? Still holds. He hasn't taken it away. He's still trusting. He's still empowering. Okay, Peter doesn't love him as much as he could. But Jesus can see the potential. Jesus can see what's coming. And he still says, feed my sheep, follow me. You know, if this were me, if this were us, we'd be looking for a substitute. Wouldn't we? You know, I just think, you know, yes, I didn't go to see Forrest yesterday. I was too busy. But loads of times, people have been making mistakes on the pitch. What do you say? Get them off. Come on, Charlie. It's time you made some substitutes. Get them off. Get on somebody else. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is not looking for substitutes. You know, if that was us, we'd be looking for substitutes. I might be saying, oh, where's John? Because I remember he was at the foot of the cross. He didn't desert me. I'll maybe transfer this across to him. No, loyal, loving, forgiving, merciful, before religious performance and good works. Now, we, of course, can read to the end of the story. You know, Peter comes good. Well, he wrote a couple of decent letters. He had his moments. He came good. That potential came through. But that performance came out of receiving the love, the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness. He didn't get those in order for him to receive all the great stuff. He got the great stuff out of that. Said it so many times, we perform out of his love. We don't perform to receive his love. You know, I told you about ticking Olam this morning. I'm less grippy than I used to be. Somebody corrected me when I said, who was it correcting me last week when I said them? It was Lee, that's right. That's what it was. Now, this ticking Olam, I look back to years ago. I've never have done that. Nunzi mentioned that to me the other day. You'd never have done that years ago. Now, I don't do that so that God will love me and bless me. I'm doing that because God has loved me and blessed me. See the way, that's the way things work. We perform out of his love, not to receive his love. Amen. And I tried to picture this encounter in my head, Paul, and you were saying you pictured Jesus with the waves and waves of compassion. Well, I picture this encounter because I love doing that. I love picturing what I read in the Word. And I saw Jesus and Peter. And all I saw on the face of Jesus was love. You know, no disappointment. Now, you may think that when he lowered his expectations and asked him to love him as a friend, there may have been disappointment in his face. He may have, okay, so do you love me as a friend? No, that's not what I saw. No disappointment, no shaking of his head, no regrets, nothing. Just love. Now, I know that's not biblical. I can't point to a scripture and says Jesus' face was just love and he wasn't disappointed. But kind of the rest of scripture kind of backs that kind of viewpoint. And that's what I saw. I just saw love and I just saw acceptance. And then he repeated his appointment. Feed my sheep, follow me. Feed my sheep, follow me. And I want that to be an encouragement for every single one of us today. Sean's kind of led into this a little bit with what he said. And that I know some of you think that at times you've failed Jesus. You've told me. I know that there are some of you that even think you're failing him now. I speak to people. He may have given you an appointment, a task, a vision, and it's not come to pass, or it's coming to pass late. I used to have a thing with my mortgage. I had a date when I had to have that paid off, and I didn't pay it off by that time, and I thought I'd failed. The Lord says, just go out the date and write early. It's not a failure. He may have given you an appointment, a task, a vision, and it's not coming to pass. I'm just writing a few examples. It's interesting what Sean said. My first example was, and I'm sorry, Sean, I wasn't thinking of you. It says, he may have asked you to write a book and you've not done it yet. And he's standing here today saying, write that book, follow me. He may have said, go and evangelize to that group over there and you've not done it. He is saying today, he's standing here today saying to you, go and evangelize that group, follow me. He may have said, run a ministry. You've not started it or it's not going well. He's standing here today saying, run that ministry, follow me. What was a common theme in those three examples? Follow me. The Greek word means to accompany him, to be on the same road. John 6, we're told, what are the works you need to do? Believe on him. How do you fulfill the calling that you feel he has given you? Follow him. Our focus needs to be on him. And you know, when our focus is on him, we'll get things done. It's kind of counterintuitive. I'm really busy. I need to start this ministry. I need a ministry. I need to evangelize these people. I need to do this. I need to do that. Yeah, well, focus on him. Follow him. What does it say? And all these things will follow. Our focus should never be on our works, on our deeds. Our focus is on him. And life and godliness will follow. You know what's coming next, Michelle, don't you? 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And how do we get them? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Knowledge of him is the key. That should be our focus. Focus on him and his love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And everything we need for life and godliness will manifest in our lives. And through that, we will fulfill our calling. It all sounds pretty simple. It is simple. But it's not always easy. There's a difference between someone being simple and someone being easy. But it's simple. And I believe we see that in the life of Peter and in the life of Paul. Guess the stage, all they're interested in is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And what do they do? Oh, they just evangelize the whole known world. Write the majority of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Brilliant. And we can see that in our lives. Because I've said this before, Paul's nothing special compared to you. Peter's nothing special compared to you. We really see Peter stepping up to the mark when? When he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. When he starts speaking in tongues. That's the next series. Amen. So we can see it in our life. I mean, is there anyone here the same as Paul and Peter in that you're saved, you're born again, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody the same? Yeah. Well, you can do the same as them. And the Word says you can do the same as Jesus. The Word says you can do greater. Yeah. Remember that sermon? Let's just go for what Jesus did. We'll pick up on the greater later. But like I say, if you're raising people from the dead, don't stop. But I'm not quite there yet. I'm still trying to do what Jesus did. I'll get to the greater stuff. But we can do it. We're the same. We'll see that, I believe, in this new series. We'll see that born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, power. And if we're speaking in tongues, all the better. That's all that Peter had. That's all that Paul had. See, that's all they had. That's all they had, the indwelling Holy Spirit. I mean, the Word and the indwelling Holy Spirit. What more do you need? Well, the local church. But there's a lot there. Okay, what's the summary for today? What can we learn from this demonstration of God's love through Jesus? Well, his love is personal. Comes to our level. He gives us what we need. And I haven't actually thought about this. It's just kind of popped into my head. He'll not ask you to do over and above what you can't do with him. You know, he gets down to Peter's level. Okay. Do you love me as a friend? Yes, right? That's a great place to start. Okay, so he's not going to, he might. But I doubt if he's going to ask you to go and book Wembley and preach to 100,000 people if you've never preached here. Or you've never preached to 50,000 or 10,000 or 5,000 or 100 or 2, 5. Comes to your level, what you can do with him. Comes to our level, meets us where we are at. It is not judgmental and condemning. I mean, if there's anything we can learn from his three questions to Peter, he's not judgmental. He's not condemning. He does not mention the denials. He does not mention not being at the cross. I mean, he barbecued him a fish, for goodness sake. If he'd had issues with him, he wouldn't have cooked them breakfast. He'd have been standing there, waiting until they got off the boat. Okay, boys. What was that all about? No, he put the fire on, put on the barbecue, cooked the fish, and went and bought bread for them. We don't think about things like that. You know, he didn't just manifest the bread. You know, a light from heaven. Ta-da! No, he went and bought it or got somebody to go. He's interested in the minutiae of our lives. Anyway. Not judgmental, not condemning, not interested in past performance or lack of it. He is trusting and he is empowering. If he's given you a vision, he's not taking it away unless he's improved it. You know, I think we get visions, we get tasks, we get jobs to do that will progress. I'm a great believer in whatever he told you to do, you stay and do it. You stay here until he tells you to go there or tells you to do something otherwise. So if he is trusting and empowering. If you've been given a vision, a ministry, a task, a job, it's still there. And it might be different from what he's originally given you slightly, but it'll be better, but it's still there. The thing is, he's not taking it away. Or you failed on that one, you're no getting another one. Is not the way Jesus operates. Oh, you didn't write that book. No, well, you're just not going to write at all. You didn't go and evangelize to that group of people, so you're not going over there. You haven't started your ministry yet, so I'm backing off. No, it's not. Do what I told you. Follow me. Keep doing what I told you. Follow me. Main takeout for me today. This is the best one, I think. Our failure is not terminal to our ministry. Our failure is not terminal to our ministry, to our vision, to our picture, to our task. And each one of us has a ministry. We're all able ministers of the new covenant, aren't we? We're all part of the body. We all have a vital function to play, a vital role. So even if, like Peter, and I'll use the we, not you, even if, like Peter, let's make it a little less condemning, but join in the slating. Even if, like Peter, we have failed and failed and failed again, there's still hope. Follow him, and we will succeed. Amen. Amen.